Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the June 25th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arthur School Board received community donations for Pavilion by Ariana Cherry. Teacher Heather Strack raised several issues regarding her pay and treatment by the administration on the June 18th Arthur School Board meeting. Following her confrontational presentation, the board hurried through the remainder of the agenda. Items discussed and voted on during the meeting included Superintendent Shannon Cheek stating the Health Life Safety Amendment was approved by Illinois State Board of Education. Cheek reported the district received the fourth payment for transportation for the fiscal year. Approved a custodial service contract with Decker Family Cleaning. We posted the job position and did not have any replies. The Decker family was excited to get started. Fingers crossed, we hope it's a huge step up, Cheek commented. Carl Sports Medicine contracted for athletic training was approved. There was a small increase, but it's nice to have a trainer on site, and Carl is great to work with, said Cheek. Approved a 10-cent fee increase for school lunches in both K-5 and junior high school. Approved to increase the substitute teacher's pay by $5. We're trying to stay competitive with other districts. It's been quite a shift since I started, noted Cheek. We're asking for a $5 increase to remain competitive. Approved psychology services contract with Presence Learning. It's been the same contract that has been utilized since Cheek's second year in the district. The minimum is $35,000 to secure services. Administrative raises were approved of 3.25%, and non-certified staff raises were also approved at 3.25%. The district received a large amount in donations in the past month, totaling $62,000. Donation 1, Lovington Technology Foundation in the amount of $40,000 for camera phone project. Donation 2, Ryan Bowles in the amount of $1,000 for flag holders for football flags. Donation 3, multiple donors for the new pavilion at the football field totaling $21,000. Legacy Building Supply, materials for the pavilion. Seamless Exterior Solutions, LLC, labor to erect the pavilion. Raymond Miller Concrete, materials and labor to pour the pad. Bear Creek Yard Creations, a portion of the picnic table that the raffle didn't cover. Dutch Valley Meats was hog processing. The County Chronicle, raffle tickets, and On Point Storage Solutions, LLC, Chicken Bristle Livestock Company, donated the hog, hosted the raffle, coordinated the entities involved, and communicated with school administrators. Personnel report, certified. Approved hiring Brett Pope, social sciences teacher at AHGS. Accepted resignation of AHGS teacher Mike Haste. Accepted resignation of art teacher Kathy Agnew at LGS and AHGS. Non-certified. Accepted resignation of Lynette Wilson as the secretary at AGS. Approved hiring Alexa Miller as secretary for AGS. Extracurricular. Approved Tiffany Reedy for Scholastic Bowl sponsor at LGS. Approved Jennifer Ingram for student school sponsor at LGS. Approved Morgan Wendt as high school volleyball assistant coach. Approved Katie Baldwin as concession manager at ALAH High School. Approved Courtney Hall as junior high volunteer cross-country coach. Approved Luke France as volunteer high school boys basketball assistant coach. And approved Emma McLean as a junior high cheer coach. The next article, Arthur Village Board. Arthur sees lower tourism numbers by Ariana Cherry. Angie Parsons of Simply Arthur presented a report of the village's tourism and marketing efforts. Arthur's recently been featured in various publications, including Day Away, Veterans View, A Special in the USA Today, Go to the Midwest, Good Housekeeping, and Best in the Midwest. 9 to 11 volunteers have been assisting at the Visitor Center throughout the week. However, the estimated door count of 32,000 tourists so far this year is lower than in previous years during this period. Parsons noted that tourism numbers have also been decreasing in surrounding areas. Arthur residents have recently been bothered by a particular company engaged in door-to-door soliciting. Chief Tinnen reported making contact with those individuals last Saturday, after which they left, only to return on Monday for further soliciting. Tinnen stated that the company claimed to have appointments with the residents. The police department advises residents to contact the police office at their non-emergency number, 217-543-3141, if solicitors come to their door. Other village board discussions and approvals. Walter's Water Source. Village Board President Rod Randall announced that the Water and Sewer Committee would meet to discuss future water sources. Suggestions included joining a cooperative nonprofit venture with other water providers or combining with other water districts. Discussions are ongoing with Farnsworth engineers to gauge interest in a study. Expenditures totaling $60,000 were approved. Wireless tower site easement. An ordinance authorizing a 20-year easement for the wireless tower site on village-owned real estate was approved for $220,000. Illinois Amish Heritage Center grant. A $2,500 grant was approved for the Illinois Amish Heritage Center for their Harvest to Home event on October 10th through 11th. Local tourism grant. A local tourism grant of $485 was approved for cooperative advertising with the Arthur Association of Commerce and Simply Arthur. The next article from the Tuscola City Council, Move Forward on Plan to Repair Pool Slide by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council agreed to repair the slide at the pool. City Administrator Drew Hole said the repair costs $75,000 to $80,000, but is less than the cost of replacing it. He asked the council how they felt about the unbudgeted expenditure, and noted they're looking at renovating the pool house. Mayor Dan Kleiss said if he had asked a couple of weeks ago, he might have responded differently, but the pool has been packed with kids the last couple of days during the current heat wave. Hole said the slide cannot be repaired for this season, and will work with the company to see if the city can provide some labor and equipment to reduce costs. Replacing the slide tube will probably extend the life of the slide another 20 years, he said. The current model has lasted 27 years. The council agreed that spreading the cost over the life of the item justifies the expense. The council took no action on closing Sale Street for Fun Day, August 30th, sponsored by Flesser's Candy Kitchen. Kleiss questioned whether the street needed to be closed and suggested he'd rather close North Central Street in front of the community building. A vote was delayed so the city could talk about it. The grocery tax proposal previously reported was also not voted on Monday. Hole said he's received no public comment and will finalize the ordinance. The tax would replace the state's 1% grocery tax, so there would be no change for shoppers in the city. The appropriation ordinance is also available for public review, and public hearing will be held at 6:45 July 14th. In other business, the city approved a change order for Grunlow Construction on the master meter station in the amount of $10,900. Payment on the police station renovation was approved for $165,000 to L.J. Swingler & Sons. Kids' Day collection for Kiwanis was approved for October 24th through 25th. A bid of $139,000 was approved for easel construction for asbestos abatement and raising the dilapidated church at 307 South Court. Work is expected to begin in about a week. A professional service agreement with Donahoe and Associates was amended for an additional $9,500 for work on the master meter station. A cost of $57,000 was approved for an air compressor and fill station from Pro Air Midwest for the fire department's oxygen tanks. The price was $5,000 higher than budgeted due to an added component for compliance purposes. Ron Equipment was the successful bidder on a 12-foot snowblade at $7,800, which Hole noted was $600 below budget. A revised summer employment roster was approved. The council heard from Jim and Mary Hennis regarding continued speeding in the Meadowview subdivision. He said the problem has escalated to include a threat of gun violence and racial slurs. Hole said he doesn't think additional signage would curb the speeding. It's not a lack of knowledge, he said. The most effective tool the city had, he said, is writing tickets. The next article, Tuscola School Board approves 3-4% salary increases by Ben Crane. The Tuscola School Board approved their personnel pay increases during their June meeting on Monday night. Non-certified staff will be making 3% more annually, while administration will be making 4% increase annually. Other items on the agenda included the approval of Press Policy 118, as well as the 2024-25 amended budget. The board also approved the East Prairie 2025-2026 Title I Part A Section 1003 School Improvement Grant Plan. The district needs to submit a plan to the state every year to continue to receive the special grants money. The board also approved the closure of the Class of 2025 Activity Fund and open a Class of 2029 Fund. The resignation of Brian Thomas as East Prairie Scholastic Bowl sponsor and Haley Sappenfield as TCHS dance sponsor were accepted, while the hirings of Don Cross as North Ward third grade teacher, Eric Schroeder as North Ward PE teacher, and Harold Newton as paraprofessional were all accepted. The next article, Villa Grove City Council, CHAWK Group wants to build new housing. The Villa Grove City Council met for their regular voting meeting on Monday, June 16th, with all members in attendance. After saying the Pledge of Allegiance, Chief Mayor Rasmussen called for public inputs, and Mrs. Oberg from the CHAWK group asked to address the council concerning the group's desire to build houses to assist those in the community facing housing issues. Mrs. Oberg passed out flyers regarding her organization stating that CHAWK is a derivative of their group name, Community Helping All We Can, and they are a faith-based local organization that works to reach and connect with those in need, including the elderly and disadvantaged persons. She was asking about potential locations and ordinances considering the construction of very small homes within the community. Administrator Athey noted that research would be needed concerning the minimum square footage for residential dwellings within the city limits, and she should address the next meeting of the zoning board. Mrs. Oberg noted that her organization was working with an area Amish contractor who had said that his organization would be able to construct the tiny homes at minimal cost, and that CHAWK would then only need to furnish the interior, and they would be seeking collaboration from community organizations in the future once the endeavor gains approval. Finding no other public comments, the mayor then moved to the consent agenda, which consisted of approval of the minutes from the regular meeting held on May 12th and May 29th, Committee of the Whole meeting. Also included in the consent agenda was a request for payment of bills in the amount of $16,000 for the end of May 2025 and $495,000 for June. The agenda also included the approval of the financial reports for the month ending April 30th. The consent agenda passed unanimously. The mayor then called for department reports from the city administrator, chief of police, and public works. Administrator Athey noted that Alderman Elson would be serving as city liaison to the Douglas County Emergency Management Association. She also stated that she would be meeting with representatives from Burns, Clancy, and Associates concerning the status of all ongoing projects in Villa Grove, and that the audit was set for July. Finally, she said that registration would soon begin for the annual IML conference and that aldermen who wished to attend should let her know and also let her know if they would be accompanied by their spouses. She informed the council that any costs associated with their spouses attending would be incurred by the aldermen and not by the city. She also asked the council to consider allowing any interested department heads to attend based on the wealth of information and networking opportunities that are available. Public Works Director McSell then reported that concrete work for the Recreation Center parking project was nearing completion and should be finished by the end of the week, barring weather interruptions. He then noted that his crew was busy with mowing and tree trimming duties. In response to a question from Alderman Elson, he said the annual oil and chipping of city streets had begun with several streets being pulverized before resurfacing begins the week of 6/16. Chief Dibbitts then reported that he and Mayor Rasmussen had toured the city looking at problem residences and that, along with his officers, they had distributed flyers about citywide cleanup days along with written warnings concerning future ordinance violations to those buildings. The mayor then reported that he had discussed the 2026 fireworks show with the company who was putting on this year's show to ensure that they were reserved, and that Donnie Patton from the Villa Grove Ag Days Committee had been in communication with the rodeo company concerning this year's event. Next, the council moved to new business, which included the passage of Ordinance 2025 MC-13, which revised the schedule of the regular city council meetings for the city, Resolution 2025 R-02, a resolution authorizing the execution of redevelopment agreement with Hannah Wintz for an existing building renovation project utilizing tax increment financing at 7 North Main, and any other actions related thereto was approved unanimously. The council then approved 5 change orders from Mid-Illinois Concrete, totaling $42,000 in additional payments. Public Works Director McSell reported these changes were a direct result of mismarked utilities, including one water line whose location was 75 feet from where the past city staff had mapped it, and that utility lines had now been marked by GPS and would be easily located from now on to alleviate these sorts of issues. The council then unanimously approved Mid-Illinois Concrete Pay Request Number 2 in the amount of $545,000 for the Community Recreation Center parking lot project. The council then approved the purchase of 3 Flock cameras at a cost of $20,000 as a request by the police department. These cameras, to be located at the east, west, and south entrances to Villa Grove, would allow them to capture real-time license plate pictures to assist with missing persons searches and many other law enforcement tasks. As explained by Chief Tibbetts, the purchase of these units will allow VGPD to tap into a nationwide network of cameras for all aspects of police work. Since Douglas County has already installed a Flock camera at the north entrance to Villa Grove, none was needed for that location. The council then approved a bid from American Legion Publishing in the amount of $2,500 to $3,100 for updating the official municipal code book for the city of Villa Grove. A bid of $33,000 from the Three Guys Concrete of Atmet was accepted for annual concrete work for the city. A bid of $6,000 was accepted from Leaf It to Us for the removal of several trees on city property, and a new ACH origination agreement with the State Bank of Villa Grove was accepted unanimously by the council. Finding no other business, Alderman Hooker motioned an adjourn at 7:03 p.m. The next article from the Douglas County Board opposes monitoring of homeschooling by Ben Crane. The Douglas County Board approved a resolution at their monthly meeting last weekend opposing House Bill 2827, which would allow the state to closely monitor homeschooled children. The resolution references several Supreme Court precedents, as well as the United States Constitution, is why the board opposes the bill. The Douglas County Board firmly opposes any expansion of state authority that undermines the ability of parents to tailor educational approaches to the individual needs, values, and beliefs of their children, viewing such mandates as intrusive into private spheres of family life and education. Board member Gary Luth expressed reservations about the fourth paragraph of the resolution. "If we actively defy a law that is passed, that would not be a good idea for us," he said. The paragraph was removed from the resolution before being passed. The board also passed Ordinance 25-30-3, which replaces ordinances and a resolution regarding county liquor licenses. "We just haven't updated our liquor ordinance since the 90s, said Judy Pollock. A supplemental appropriation was also approved by the board in the amount of $52,000 of motor fuel tax funds for the County Line project. A letter of understanding between the Illinois Department of Transportation and Douglas County was also approved for Route 45 improvements. IDOT will be patching, milling, and resurfacing the road from 0.1 miles north of the I-57 overpass to Pisodum to Route 26 in Tuscola. Finally, the board approved a lease agreement with pretrial services for 5 years for the annex starting on July 1st in the Dudley County Transportation Plan. The next main story, disgruntled teacher brings case to Arthur School Board meeting by Ariana Cherry. A large crowd of unit teachers filled the room at the regular meeting of the Arthur CUSD No. 305 School Board on Wednesday, June 18th at the high school cafeteria. During public comments, Heather Strack, a special education teacher, approached the board with grievances regarding Superintendent Shannon Cheek. She opened her speech, "I am passionate about my job, we work hard for the kids, and we are here for the kids." Strack then began mapping out a timeline. In August 2021, Shannon Cheek assigned Mrs. Amy Hooten and myself to split the job of a third special education teacher. There were other options, but he felt two veterans teaching special education teachers with 40-plus years of experience was the best option. We were both given $6,000 per semester. Amy and I were compensated $24,000. A first-year teacher at that time would have been paid $42,000. Our hard work, 55-plus meetings that school year out of the classroom and instruction, two periods a week, saved the district $18,000. Two special education teachers helped the district and were completely undercompensated, and no thank you for stepping up, she passionately stated. Strack continued, "Fast forward 2 years, August 2023, you, Superintendent Cheek, entered my classroom at 8 a.m. on Monday, August 30th, and closed the door. You proceeded to tell me that I was placed incorrectly on the salary schedule and would have to take a reduction in pay because I was being overpaid," she stated questioningly. Strack informed the crowd that she'd not been placed inappropriately in the salary schedule 7 years prior. "This unprofessional abuse of power and intimidation violated multiple federal and state laws," she said, "including Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, 22 U.S.C. and 7000E, Working Place Discrimination, Hostile Environment, and the Illinois Human Rights Act, 775 ILCS 52-102, Gender-Based Intimidation, Illinois State Officials and Employees Ethics Act, Misuse of Position, and the Illinois School Code, Improper Discipline or Compensation Decisions." After the explanation of alleged violated rights, Strack went on, "His action caused financial harm as I had to seek legal protection to protect my rights and had to join the union, which caused harm to my family due to the enforcement of my legal rights." As she grew more passionate, Strack began to wrap up her comments. "At the same time you were trying to harm me, your buddy, Mr. Seal, had just been given a teacher-paid position to pad his pockets close to retirement. It makes no sense how and why a teacher's union would ever allow this. It's a disgraceful letting, giving multi-$1,000 teacher stipend to an administrator." Fast forward 2 years, June 2025, teachers are only worth 1%, but an assistant principal athletic director who seeks employment in the other district gets a 24% raise. "And now if I threaten to leave, if I get a 24% raise?" Strack questioned. The audience of unit teachers burst into applause, showing their support for Strack, while the board looked on in shock. but public comments were not quite finished. Mike Strack, Heather Strack's husband, stood up to speak in support of his wife. He read only a portion of his comments and stated that the remainder would be entered into the record of the minutes under public comment. I'm speaking tonight not just as a husband, but as a citizen who understands government accountability, ethics, and the law. What is happening under Superintendent Cheek and this board is not only unethical, it is unlawful, unquestionably unsustainable. Let me begin with what happened to my wife. Recently, Mr. Cheek entered her classroom, closed the door behind him, and now was alone with my wife. A female subordinate informed her she was being overpaid and that her salary would be reduced. During this encounter, he made inappropriate and suggestive remarks that deeply disturbed my wife and left her in tears. There was no HR representative, no union advocate, no due process, only intimidation and abuse of power, he said. That was not a lapse in professionalism, he continued. It was an abuse of power and violated multiple federal and state laws, Strack stated. You handed out a 24% raise, over $24,000, to an administrator who threatened to leave. You rewarded someone threatening to abandon his district while telling my wife, who stepped up and took on another teacher's full workload, that she'd been overpaid, would only receive a token $6,000 for each semester doing the work of another teacher. I demand this teaching role be immediately returned to a certified teacher as required by your collective bargaining agreement, an agreement that the union did not approve to be waived or reassigned. If that is not correct, I will initiate civil litigation to compel this change, he said. With just as much passion as his wife, Strack said, let me be clear now. I'm preparing impact litigation, not just to correct my wife's mistreatment, but to expose the broader pattern of mismanagement and force systemic and legislative reform across Illinois districts. Effective immediately, I'll begin submitting Freedom of Information Act requests for all administrative contracts, raises, and budget approvals for the last 5 years. Any documentation regarding Heather Strack's compensation and reassignment, he informed the board. And now a word of legal advice, Strack interjected. Consider this your formal notice. Any attempt to delete, conceal, mislead, or manipulate public records, physical or digital, is a criminal act under both state and federal law. This school needs my wife far more than she needs this school. She has carried the burden of leadership failure, and all of you know it. If you participated in wrongdoing, resign now. If you don't know, reach out and talk with me. I can provide you with some good advice. This is always about the children until you don't make it that. Seems to be a pattern in this district. Now you want to ask the public to go into debt to build a new school while handing out 24% raises to administrators who threaten to leave? Not a chance. Not under leadership like this, Strack concluded. Just as they did earlier, applause echoed throughout the cafeteria once more while Superintendent Cheek and board members were left speechless but continued to carry on with their agenda for the evening. In a follow-up interview the next day, Cheek was asked for a response regarding the comments of Heather and Mike Strack. He stated he didn't feel it was necessary to talk about her speech and it wouldn't be informative for the public to have the back and forth with the newspaper. In regard to Nathan Seal's 24% raise, Cheek commented the following. The percentage is incorrect, but I confirm that he was granted a new contract that does include a raise. I can also confirm that Ms. Mount Zion had shown an interest in him. And the final page one story, Positive Vibe Set to Open Dog Daycare in Downtown Tuscola by Ben Crane. What started as a casual brainstorming session among friends and family at hometown grounds quickly turned into a full-flex business venture, one aimed at providing Tuscola's dogs with a home away from home. Set to open in early July, Positive Vibes Dog Daycare will offer full-day and half-day daycare services, as well as overnight boarding for area pets. The facility, located in downtown Tuscola, is the result of a collaborative effort by a group of local siblings and their partners, including Emma Johns, Grant Hardwick, Andrew Davis, Faith Davis, Zach Dane, and Grace Dane. It just kind of all felt like a perfect timing, said co-founder Faith Davis. We were tossing ideas around the coffee shop. We realized how attainable it actually could be if we found the right spot to rent and got everyone on board. From there, the concept took off. The daycare will accommodate up to 12 dogs at a time, 10 in daycare and 5 in overnight boarding, with some overlap depending on availability. The facility has been fitted with agility ramps, a tunnel, a ball pit, open play areas designed to stimulate dogs both physically and mentally. Planned daily activities include hide-and-seek games, rest breaks, and creative crafts such as paw print art. We want this to be a place that enriches dogs' lives, not just a kennel, Faith said. We're focused on socialization, enrichment, and giving them the attention and care they need. The group behind Positive Vibes brings together a diverse set of backgrounds. Andrew's a dental hygienist. Her husband, Zach, works in a customer service. Andrew is a nurse. Hardwick is a firefighter in Urbana. Emma works as a caregiver at a nursing home. And Faith herself is also a hairstylist who plans to manage the facility full-time. It's pretty cool, said Grant. If you look at all of our occupations, they all involve helping others or customer service. I think it's unique that we all share that goal, helping people, helping the community. All of the co-founders are lifelong dog lovers. The painted mural in the front of the building features the group's four dogs, three belonging to Faith and Andrew, one to Zach and Grace. They also receive strong support from the building's owner, who embraced the idea of pet-centered business in downtown. We made sure the building owner was okay with dogs, because some people just aren't, Faith said, but they were welcoming and excited to see something new in the area. The group has spent the past month preparing the space, installing mats and kennels, organizing a detailed activity calendar, and waiting final approval from the Illinois Department of Agriculture to officially open. The grand opening celebration is scheduled for Friday, July 12th, featuring Polly's barbecue food truck, mocktails from Brookies, treats from Wildflower Bakery, and a raffle with donations from local businesses, including Joe's Pizza, The Flower Shop, and Monocle's Pizza. The Douglas County Animal Shelter will also be on hand to share information about adoptable pets. We've gotten a lot of positive outreach already, Faith said. People have stopped in just because they saw the lights are on or the chalkboard sign out in front. It's been exciting to talk with them about what we're offering. In addition to structured daycare and boarding, Positive Vibes will also offer open play time, hourly, supervised across the indoor area, play area for dogs and their owners. A grassy area behind the building and walks through downtown will provide outdoor options for exercise and bathroom breaks. Dog owners can reserve spots online or by phone at 217-800-2284 with services available on a first-come, first-served basis. The team emphasizes individualized care and low capacity to ensure that every dog gets attention. We'll treat every dog here like they're our own, if not better, Davis said. We know how hard it can be to leave your pet with someone new. We want people to feel comfortable and know their dog is in good hands. Positive Vibes Dog Daycare can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Now we'll get to the obituaries. Evelyn Carrillo, 85, of Atwood, passed away at 8:15 a.m. Friday, June 20, 25, at the Haven of Tuscola. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, June 25th at the First Baptist Church of Atwood, 321 North Illinois Street, Atwood, with Dr. Lanny Faulkner officiating. Burial will follow at the Mackville Cemetery, Atwood. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the services at the church. Willard Helmuth, age 72, of Arthur, passed away suddenly in Shipshewana, Indiana, on June 18, 2025. Visitation and funeral were held at HCK Building, 1 mile south of Arthur. Visitation was Friday, June 20th, and Saturday, June 21st. Funeral services were held Sunday, June 22nd. Officiating was Bishop Steve Brennerman. Burial was in the Otto Cemetery. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Jerry Clark Titus, 78, of Filson, passed away at his home on Wednesday afternoon, June 18, 2025. Visitation was held Saturday, June 21st at the Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Funeral services Saturday at the funeral home followed by visitation. Burial was in the Arcola City Cemetery. And we have time for a few briefs. Legion Breakfast. The Tuscola American Legion, Post 27, Pancake and Sausage Breakfast will be held from 7 to 10 a.m. Saturday, July 5th at the Tuscola Community Building. Donations are accepted and appreciated. Tuscola Class of 68. There will be a mini reunion for the Tuscola Class of 1968, Tuesday, August 5th at Yoder's Restaurant from 4 to 6 p.m. Contact Tim Hall at 217-493-0449. Anyone may attend the mini-reunion of the Class of 68, friends, classmates of the Class of 67 or 69, for example. However, please RSVP as soon as possible to either Tim Hole or Alex Tingley to make sure there is adequate space. 20 currently are signed up to attend. Kiwanis Garage Sale. The Kiwanis Club of Tuscola is holding a garage sale 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, July 11th, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, July 12th at 40 Martyrs Hall, 109 East Van Allen Street in Tuscola. Free dance classes for kids. The Moultrie Douglas 4-H is sponsoring Get Up and Dance for youths 5 to 12 in July at the Villa Grove Community Center, 900 South Sycamore Street, Villa Grove. The sessions are from 9 to 9:45 a.m. July 19th, 9th, 11th, 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, and 30th, and August 1st. Register to go to illinois.edu, Get Up and Dance, Villa Grove. And that is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye, and see you again next week.